Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out. And the rise of the company's fall.
Oh,
good morning, members and listeners to Radical Radio 3CR. You're with the Fire Up MUA program. My name's David Boyle. I'm the Deputy Secretary of the Victorian Branch of the MUA. I'm here with...
me.
I'm here with Annie, our wonderful producer, and Aaron Moon, our special guest and the latest addition to the Vic Ports Board. How are you, Aaron?
Good, thanks, Dave. How are you?
Good, mate. What happened this morning, brother?
Mate, I was sitting around at home having a coffee, enjoying my the giggles of my 5-month-old, and completely forgot to get in the shower and then into the car. So now I'm coming in remotely, mate. So
five-month-old babies do that to you.
I was up at 4:30, so I could have been there about 2 hours early. But completely slipped my mind while I was rolling on the floor with her. So my apologies for not being in the studio, but I'm here on the air.
A young father gets away with that, I think. And your daughter is a beautiful age and a beautiful little baby. So, yeah, good on you, mate. And congratulations to you and your wife.
Thanks, mate.
And you have just been appointed to Vic Ports Board. Aaron, how's that going?
Mate, it's all very new, but very proud to be appointed to the board, and hopefully we can get do some work that'll be good for the state of Victoria and the port, and promote trade and safety within the port. So it's a good opportunity, and I look forward to taking it on, mate.
So that's part of bringing workers' voices to the table, is it?
Oh, we've just lost him.
We'll get him back.
Yeah, I'm not sure Ports Victoria would see it that way, Annie. I think it's more an industry voice on the table of Vic Ports, Ports Victoria. Their main head office is down in Geelong. We're really excited. I'm not sure an MUA official has sat on that board before, but we know that Aaron will do a great job, and it's an awesome outcome for the branch and for the MUA and for our members. Going on to our next story, we had a very special event yesterday in Melbourne. It was the old timers. It was their life members dinner. We had the life members dinner. We've always had the life members dinner at the Moonee Valley Racecourse, but that's of course been pulled apart and dismantled. So we went up to the Meadows Greyhound track. I'm not sure about the racing theme, but it seems to be consistent. We had about 300 life members attend that dinner. It was a really magnificent event. There was always a sad element to the day where we recognise the people that have passed away during the year. One of the significant people that passed away only 3 days ago was Roger Wilson. Roger Wilson was the secretary of the SUA from about, I think around 1976 to 1985. Roger was 95 years old when he passed away, but he had an amazing life and was an amazing activist right up until the end. Yeah, it was great to recognise Roger and all the other people there yesterday, and it was a pretty big event. Robbie Lumsden, the branch secretary, spoke really well, I thought, Aaron.
Yeah, he spoke really well, and we got to present a number of life memberships to a bunch of members. A lot of them coming out of both DP World and Patrick's, the two terminals, and many members who had been in our industry for multiple decades, and starting before and being involved in the Patrick's dispute, a lot of them or around it. So there was a lot of people that were very proud to receive their life memberships, and that remain continuously supportive of the union even into retirement. And like our veteran members say, that they're retired from the workforce, not the struggle. So it was great to recognise those members yesterday, and all of our life members who continue to remain active within our branch.
Absolutely, and I think that comes out every year at the life members dinner, that so many people actually lost their jobs after the 98 dispute. The workforce was reduced significantly. So a lot of the guys that actually attend that event were on the waterfront in 98. I met one of the main delegates there yesterday. I can't remember his name, but he was actually the delegate down at Webb Dock. And yeah, they still really feel it like it was yesterday, and it was such a big struggle for the union and for those members, and their lives were turned upside down. So it's wonderful to have those guys here. I guess if they were made redundant in 98, it's what, 27 years later, so they're all in their 80s. The average age actually at the life members dinner, it feels like there's a year gap, like there's no 60 to 70 year olds, everyone's older. But it's wonderful to get them all together, and you can't get their attention, like they all want to catch up and talk to each other, and yeah, it's difficult to get the room to quiet down when we need them to, but we love having that event every year, and it was wonderful yesterday.
It was a very good event, so looking forward to it again next year.
And yeah, funny, the MUA the MUA was formed with the WWF and the SUA in 1993, but we still have separate.
What do the letters stand for?
SUA is the Seamen's Union of Australia, and the WWF is the Waterside Workers Federation. And we still operate a little bit different, the wharfies and the seafarers. So we have two separate old timers events.
Because that reflects the workplace, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
So we have our what we call the old timers drink, which is coming up in a couple of weeks' time. And the seafarers, that's a pretty boisterous event where a lot of the young, because you form a special relationship with your seamates and your crew, the young blokes like to come along and meet the older guys, whereas the life members' dinners, you have to be a life member to be there. But the old-timers drink, the young blokes come along and they have a drink, catch up with their old crewmates. So
it's interesting, isn't it, because your union is a union that it's a culture and it's a social life as well as a fighting union, isn't it?
Absolutely. There is a lot of camaraderie formed on a ship, massive camaraderie formed on a ship, but there's also a lot of camaraderie formed with people that you do shift work with. You're out in the middle of the night. You know, during slow times, it's amazing some of the conversations that take place on the wharf, and you do form really strong relationships with the people you work with.
Mm. And people you depend.
Absolutely.
You depend on.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely, and because it's such a dangerous industry, you do depend on your workmates. So there is a heightened level of trust and care that goes into our working lives, and that I guess really fosters a unique kind of friendship with amongst a lot of our guys. And Dave's right, you spend a lot of time, and because it's shift work as well, and it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on some quite obscure rosters at times. You end up spending a lot more time with the people you work with than some of your mates outside of work just because of your availability. So,
but it's also interesting, isn't it, when you work in places and times that are different from the norm, you really see the world in a different way, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
And the twilight shift that starts, you know, around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that means you eat dinner every night with your workmates. So that's a fairly intimate process, or, you know,
yeah,
social event that takes place. So, yeah, those relationships are really important, and it really shone out yesterday at our life members dinner, and I'm sure it'll be the same at our old-timers drink in a couple of weeks' time. But
absolutely.
One of these days we might get the two groups together.
we'd be mad to do that. We'd be halving the amount of parties we get at the end of the year.
Yeah, for sure. It is a busy time of the year for everybody with Christmas parties everywhere. And
it is indeed. So
we've got our fair share.
But the work continues from the branch regardless. Christmas party one afternoon, and then we're back in Parliament tomorrow or today, lobbying for offshore decommissioning day. So there's a bunch of seafarers and some wharfies from the Victorian branch heading into state parliament to get some, do some lobbying around the decommissioning industry and ensuring that the retired or the offshore oil and gas infrastructure that is no longer of use is removed from the ocean and removed. We want to see it removed down to the seabed, and then the wells capped, and then a regime put in place to monitor those wells to ensure there are no fugitive emissions coming from them well into the future, because we know that things deteriorate and don't always last as long as we would like them to when they're in the ocean. So we need to make sure there is a maintenance regime for the decommissioning ongoing. So we're in Parliament today. A couple of seafarers are going to be in there and meeting with politicians from many different parties, anyone that would meet with us. So we'll be in there saying that we've got the skills to do the work, we've got the labour to do the work, we're willing to do the work. We put it up, we can pull it down, and we need to make sure that the regulatory frameworks are strengthened so that big companies, the big multinational global oil companies don't get to, oil and gas companies don't get to cut it off at 50 metres and leave it there.
Is there some resistance to doing a thorough job?
Oh, there's all sorts of things happening. Like, for example, Esso paid CSIRO a lot of money to ask a particular question, and the question was, is it all right if we cut these oil platforms, leaving them 50 metres below sea level? So that was the study that the CSIRO did. Unfortunately, I think they came back with an answer that it might be okay, Aaron.
I'm not sure what the answer is, to be honest, mate. But the Dave's right. The study was very particular, and SO were trying to make the claim that because their stuff has stood out in the ocean for so long, it's got soft corals and stuff on there, so they should be allowed to leave it there. But as anyone knows, if you stand around in the ocean long enough, stuff will grow. And when Dave goes surfing, he sits there so long that the plants will go on in. So, it's no surprise that things have grown on stuff that has been out there for decades. But that's not the ecosystem that was there before, and it's not what needs to be protected. It needs to be returned to how it was pre the infrastructure being put there. So there is a lot of pushback. Annie and as you're aware, offshore oil and gas companies have very, very deep pockets, so they are always happy to spend that money to try and save themselves a little bit more money in the future and get out of their social obligations.
They redefine what their business obligations are. You can see that it's their social obligation, but it's always very strange to me that they refuse to actually do the entire job properly.
Absolutely.
And it's not a coincidence that we're off the Vic Parliament today, Aaron. It is on the back of a Victorian inquiry into the offshore decommissioning system.
So the Victorian government have an inquiry out of the Environmental Committee in the upper house to have a look at this process, and so we've made a submission, and there's, I guess, three real key points. One is that it needs to be removed down to the seabed floor, sea floor, and then the other is that the polluter should pay for it. So it shouldn't, the bill for this shouldn't be picked up by the taxpayer. It should be the oil and gas companies that have made billions of dollars off the back of our natural resources. That pay for this. So we need to make sure that that's the case. We don't want to see another incident like the Northern Endeavour, where the company sold it to a shell or to a
shell
company, and then that for a dollar, and then ultimately handed over the liability and took off without any sort of responsibility for it, and it ended up being a levy across the industry that I think has assisted towards it, but now we're seeing that that infrastructure towed across the globe to possibly be recycled in Norway or Denmark, but it's likely it's going to sink because it's in such poor shape. So,
oh, yeah, ridiculous plan.
Yeah, no, it's absurd, and we don't want to see that happening out of the Bass Strait. And we want to make sure that that work is brought ashore here. There's an electric arc furnace in Victoria, which would mean that the recycled steel could be melted down and turned back into green steel, which would help with the Victorian government's emission targets and the ability to produce green steel out of the state. So there's a lot of potential benefit for it, but first we need to get it out and get it ashore here and make sure that that's done with MUA seafarers on MUA conditions and rates of pay.
And MUA waterfront workers dismantling it onshore. So there's a lot of work to be done there, and we're looking forward to making sure that industry gets regulated and our members get work out of it. We're going to go to our first song. It's by Jesse Wells, and it's called Fentanyl. Hope you enjoy it.
One, two, ready, and... China over the Pacific is the atom bomb of drugs. Boy, is she terrific. Precursor ship to Mexico, they mix them in a lab, press them into pills and ship them up to Uncle Sam. She's fentanyl, the wonder, fentanyl's her name. The profit margin's high and your life's a stupid game. So buy the ticket, take the ride, chances are you'll get high. It'll be pretty quick, you won't know it hit. And keep the Narcan closed in case you get sick. If you're poor, they say OD'd. If you're rich, they say they poisoned it. She's fentanyl, be sympathetic. She ain't heavy, she's just synthetic. $110,000 dead last year. Makes Johnson Johnson oxys look like little beers. Send O to the enforcement, they build another jail. Give money to a hammer, they're gonna buy a nail. Tell the folks to quit, well, of course. Like they haven't thought of that, have a cutting off the source. Ain't it kinda obvious? So when the drugs attack, more people dead now than Vietnam through Iraq. She's fentanyl, the wonder, Beijing bullshit powder. It kills your sons and daughters, taking more by the hour. Politicize it, pick a side, while some more OD and die. But if you think you're safe, cause you never smoke, cause you don't snort coke and you don't shoot dope, it doesn't mean that somebody you love won't. But don't worry, it's just fentanyl, she'd only kill a criminal. Safe, cause you never smoke, cause you don't snort coke and you don't shoot dope. It doesn't mean that somebody you love won't, but don't worry, it's just fentanyl, she'd only kill a criminal. The DEA has boats, sailors out at sea, they're busting up fentanyl submarines. It used to be so simple, the drugs killed by class. The rich snorted cocaine, the poor got killed with crack. She's fentanyl, the wonder, you're 2 milligrams away. She knows she's upward mobile and she don't discriminate. ticket, so buy the ticket, take the ride. Chances are, odds are high. It'll be pretty quick, you'll know it hit. Keep the Narcan close in case you get sick. If you're poor, they say they OD'd. If you're rich, they say they poisoned it. She's fitting, I'll be sympathetic. She ain't heavy, she's just synthetic.
We were in Canada last year and we saw the impact fentanyl is having on a big part of the population over there. There's a street where literally thousands of people smoking fentanyl, taking fentanyl, comatized on the street. And apparently they take, you know, up to, well, I'm not sure on the numbers, but people die on those streets every day from fentanyl. It's really heavy.
Oh, my God.
And,
oh, that's a nice way to bring the mood down. It's 10 to 7 in the morning, Dave.
Mind you, I guess, and the difference between what is it, legal drugs and non-legal drugs is the line is very fine, I'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we know that the people that run society are allowing those drugs to come through our borders and impact working class people, and it's just not good enough. We need to do a lot better. Anyway, we're going to move on to industrial reports. I want to talk a little bit about the Lynx EA. We were down in Western Port on Tuesday, and the Lynx, the boys down there unanimously supported the EA, which was great to get their support. It's now a 3.5-year agreement, which is awesome. I can stop negotiating with Lynx for a couple of years, which will be really nice. Of course, the work isn't done yet. We are... straight after this show, we're going into the Melbourne Auditorium to have the WebDoc Lynx workforce come in and vote. That'll be about 100 members. It's an exciting workplace where people are passionate about their job. They're passionate about the conditions they work under, and I'm sure there'll be some dynamic discussions taking place. We haven't really got a yes vote up in that workplace for quite a few votes. First time round, we always have to come back for round two. But I am receiving some positive feedback this time around, so I'm hoping for a yes vote today, comrades.
So is it? do they usually toy about around the edges, or is it key issues that they worry about?
No, there's some key issues, and the way that operation works, like they literally work car vessels every day. All the workers are driving cars on and off ships every day, so the work's a little bit monotonous for sure, and... you know, they've got plenty of time to think about what's going on, and they put that thinking into the workplace conditions.
And management often seem to give a little poke and a prod around the edges there to allow them to find or understand or have another perspective on an issue that may have been resolved prior to a vote, between reaching an agreement in principle and prior to a vote. So,
oh my God, that's so irritating.
So the workers will respond to that, and then often we need that final issue needs to be resolved again to fix it. But Dave does a great job down there, and a great job representing the Lynx members right across the state and across the country.
Oh, thank you, Aaron. yeah, well, we'll
that's the last nice thing I'll ever say about this.
We'll see how we go after today, but I do want to recognise the delegates down there. There's half a dozen guys down there led by Frank Falcone, and just quickly on Frank, he actually drove his father to the Life Members Dinner yesterday. His father was a Wharfie. Frank's a Wharfie. I think he's like third generation Wharfie, and Frank puts and all the delegates down there put a lot of time into helping me, helping the union, helping us work together with the members and putting out fires and representing members. There's often people being disciplined or there's investigations taking place, and if I'm not available, Frank and the team will get down there and support the people, support our members. So they do a wonderful job, and I'd just like to say thank you.
I'll have to say a membership ticket to the union, having someone there with you when you're going through a process like that, returns the favour of the dues.
Absolutely. Rule number one, never go to a meeting with a boss without representation or a support person.
That's right.
There you go. Never go in there by yourself. So
that's it.
While we're talking about bosses that can annoy workforces, we met with DP World this week as well for their latest round of automation talks. They have done some work on trying to reduce the average hours, but we're in the rosters that they want to propose, but we're still well apart on those because they believe they come with a loss of pay, and we are pretty firm that they don't. So there's still a bit more work to be done there, and they've finally sent them through. So we're going to analyse them and then have a discussion with our workforce about them. But beyond that, they don't have any more detail on their project. Maybe they'll have an idea about who might build the plant in January. But until then, we just need to continue to try and get what information we can out of them. We've got a long time before this is implemented. They reckon it's going to be done by the middle of next year, but I think even they have to concede now that that's not going to be the case, and they'll concede that in January when we find out the plan. So a bit of work to be done still, and we'll give our members a bit of an update, a further update at the AGM. And the AGM in Melbourne this week, next week, Dave, is on the Tuesday. So we encourage all of our members to get down to the AGM. We have one in Portland on Monday for the guys down there. Melbourne on Tuesday in our office in Island Street from 10 a.m. And then we're in Western Port on Wednesday at midday and down in Geelong on Thursday, Dave.
Yeah, busy week next week and we'll be sick of the AGM by Thursday, I reckon. But
what is it, a floating AGM?
Yeah, we just try to go to all our ports. We don't get to quite all of them, nearly all of them.
Yeah, nearly all of them, but we try and provide as much. The AGM is a very extensive report on the operations of the union, both at the branch and national level. So we try and make sure that we get it to as many of our members as possible and make it as easy for them to get there. A proud thing of our union is the rank and file involvement, and knowledge is power, and the more information we can give our members, the better.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to catch up with the members all over the state.
Also, it gives people an idea of how much bigger everything is. Like, their work life is the tip of the iceberg, and then there's all this stuff going on underneath.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you're heading down to Geelong, I'm sure you'll have noticed the big white ship out in the bay. Spirit 4 is anchored.
finally arrived.
It's there. It's anchored in the bay there in Geelong, and while they're still looking for a home for it, it won't be able to go on the run until October 2026. So
this is the longest joke without a punchline I've ever heard.
But we've run out of time, comrades and listeners. I hope you enjoyed the show. We're going to go out with another song by Jesse Wales called Fat. Thank you.
Well, it's your own damn fault. You're so damn fat. It's just like when your grandpappy's lungs turned black. That was his fault too. The doctor told him what to do. He smoked Camels. Guess he bought the wrong pack. It ain't like an evil team of scientists through rigorous testing created the most abominable snacks. Grinding critters and chemicals up in the factory. Now your hand is stuck inside of the sack. Well, it's your own damn fault. You're so damn fat. Coca-Cola just walked in with the results. They did a self-investigation like a Florida sheriff station, so you know they won't be found at fault. Diabetes, help us Jesus. If you're fit, willing, and able, for a smooth 10 grand, they'll put your guts in a band, and that's all fine if you don't die on the table. Sucrose, monosaccharides, diastatic malt, high fructose corn syrup, it's your own fucking fault. It's your own damn fault. You're so damn fat. Shame, shame, shame. All the food on the shelf was engineered for your health, so you're gonna have to take the blame. fat. It's just like when your grandpappy's lungs turn black. That was his fault too. The doctor told him what to do. He smoked Camels. Guess he bought the wrong pack.
3CR is about community, and we welcome your participation at the station.
3CR is open to a wide diversity of volunteers and is a great way to connect with Melbourne's activist community.
Have you ever thought about volunteering, doing a reception shift, getting a program on air,
training in radio skills, or contributing to one of the station's committees?
There are many ways to be involved at 3CR.
To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au and get in touch.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.